Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back. We're talking about the Building 7 fires with Kelly here. And as I started to say, the fires in Building 7 look like what we would do in a movie where we have to make a building look like it's on fire but not actually burn it down, which would just be a terrible drag on everybody involved. And what I think happened is Flight 93 was supposed to crash into Building Number 7 in order to justify its subsequent demolition. When Flight 93's flight crew theoretically recovered control of the aircraft from the remote control system, and then Flight 93 had to be shot down, they still had to bring Building 7 down anyway, or risk having the explosives found in subsequent searches. So I think what happened is somebody just ran through the building from floor to floor setting fires to make it look like the building was on fire, and then they said, okay, bring it down, and that's why it came down. The fires that we saw on Building 7 were not capable of bringing down a building. No steel frame skyscraper has collapsed from fire before 9/11 or since. First Interstate Bank building in Los Angeles burned right down to the frame and did not collapse. Plus, you need to remember, because it was a federal building, Building 7 was built beyond the normal building codes for Manhattan. It was far more fireproof and explosion-proof than the buildings immediately surrounding it. Those few little fires we saw in the windows should not have been an issue at all. And again, like I said, steel frame buildings don't collapse from fire, either before or after. Kelly, anything else?
Just the whole 9/11 topic itself. I work in high tech, and I have most of my coworkers are actually based in the States. They're intelligent people, very skeptical, very distrustful of government motives. But with most of them, as soon as you bring up 9/11, they clam up. It's so painful, they can't deal with it, they can't analyze it. And, you know, they just refuse. Many of them refuse to accept anything but the official story, and it's so frustrating trying to explain it to them.
Well, what's going on there is these are people who want to believe that they have the courage and moral fiber to stand for truth and justice, and yet when they're confronted with evidence that their government is engaged in massive wrongdoing and behaving basically like the Nazis, they don't want to deal with it, because then they'd have to make a choice. Am I going to do something about the evil before me or not? And to take action against a corrupt, evil government involves a lot of personal risk. And most people don't want to do that, but they don't want to surrender that image of courage and self-righteousness, that positive image about themselves. And so they're kind of trapped. And they'll gratefully accept any propaganda that's offered to them so that they don't have to confront their own lack of moral courage. And they can go on and say, yes, I would stand up for truth and justice, but I don't see any reason to have to do it now. And so they go on back to watching their sporting events and reading those little magazines at the supermarket checkout stands. And this little gross self-deception is why so many tyrants and dictators through history have gotten away with such horrific actions.
Well, it may take 40 years like Pearl Harbor, but I'm sure the truth about this will all come out eventually.
I think it's already out. I think the majority of Americans know the government lied, and that's the only really important component of the truth. The rest of it is all sideshow. You know exactly who did what, exactly what kind of thermite was used. You know, yeah, it's of academic interest, but the important piece of news, and we got to deal with it now. Our government lies to us about a lot of stuff. They lied to us about Saddam's nukes. They lied to us about 9/11. They're lying to us about the economy. Obama lied about stopping the war. Obama lied about the Gulf waters being safe to get in again. It's just lie after lie after lie. I won't live with a government that lies to us on such a scale. The rest of America needs to stand up and make that same moral choice. Better, you know, I will have a truthful government, or I will have no government at all.
Well, here's hoping that more people make that choice.
I'm here. I'll drink to that one. All right, thank you very much for the call, Kelly. We're going to let you go, take a break for some commercials. We'll be right back, continuing on 9/11 and a few other news items that have caught my attention.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
This is an important message from hempusa.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're getting into hour number two. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Somebody was asking who sings that song about what really happened. That is Thanea Crone. It is from her album Kaleidoscope. She's a Canadian recording artist, and she did, in fact, write that song as an homage to the website and very graciously gave us permission to use it as bump music. You can actually find a little page for all the show's music, some of which was written by my wife, Claire. And you can find it if you go to the little radio show icon at whatreallyhappened.com and you click in there. Down below, there's this little thing that says the music from the What Really Happened radio show, and the full version of the What Really Happened song is there, along with a link to Thanea's website where you can purchase the album. So, anyway, getting back to the situation here, we're seeing this huge media push to demonize Muslims, remind everybody about terrorism and just booga booga, be afraid. We're not dealing with terrorism. We're dealing with scarerism. And who is keeping us afraid? Who's working so hard to keep us afraid? It's not Osama bin Laden. I mean, he's been dead for 8 years, 9 years now. Anyway, it's ABC and CBS and NBC and PBS and Fox News. They're the ones working every single day to keep you afraid. So that when the government stands up and says, we got to go kill the Muslims, you'll say, oh yes, save us from the horrible Muslims. Here, take my money, take my children. I'm willing to let my children die to save me from those bad old Muslims out there. It's the way all wars get started for thousands and thousands of years. I'm hoping at the dawn of the third millennium that we, the people of planet Earth, understand that government is populated by oligarchs and bovine excrement artists. And maybe it's time for us to learn a better way of conducting our affairs. The beautiful thing about the internet and the blogs and the citizens' media, whether it's What Really Happened or Republic Broadcasting, is that we have broken free of the informational chains that were imposed on us all. It is a second information revolution. The first one, in my opinion, was Gutenberg's movable type printing. And I realize there are others that are somewhat lesser. The invention of the written language freed people from the myths and legends and lies of their leaders. The availability of inexpensive paper and pencil so that common people could avail themselves of writing. Movable type printing. And then later on, newspapers, telegraph, telephone, television. And each time we see the same thing. The powers that be attempt to first block it and then co-opt all of these new technologies because every one of them threaten the dictatorial control over the flow of information in society. And now it's happened again. And yes, there are institutions that are unable to adapt to the new reality. The U.S. government is one, clearly. And there are institutions that are attempting to co-opt and buy control of this new media, which we're seeing, Cass Sunstein is telling Obama that they have to spend your tax dollars to plant people in forums and chat rooms and online to make sure that the public is still being fed the USDA choice bovine excrement that the government depends on you believing, which is what we're seeing happen all over TV this week. And if you go into the social networking sites, you will see very obvious government plants just repeating over and over again, the Muslims did 9/11. The Muslims did 9/11. These are the people you've got to hate. Don't hate the bankers. Don't hate the Federal Reserve. Don't hate the U.S. Congress. Don't hate British Petroleum. Hate the Muslims. They're the correct. If you're a loyal, true American, you'll hate the people you're told to hate. And you'll love the people you're told to love. And you will love Israel. And you will hate the Muslims. And that's what makes America great. Flag, 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 flag. And they wave the flag in front of you, hard enough to turn it into a blindfold, they hope. And then they send your kids off to die in these wars. And by the way, here in Hawaii, we lost two yesterday. In Iraq, dead of transition support. And apparently those incoming bullets that hit these kids from Hawaii didn't understand that the president said combat is over. How dare those bullets not respect President Barack Obama when he says combat is over? Those bullets should have known you're not allowed to kill our people anymore because combat is over. The president has said so. Absolute, utter, utter nonsense here. Meanwhile, you talk about not really having the right to go out and presume to tell other nations how to live their lives. I mean, they're trying to make a big deal about this woman who's sentenced to death by stoning in Iran for adultery. And, they're going out there screaming about how dare they do that. Well, you know something? That's Iran. And Iran and the people of Iran have a right, as much of a right, to run their nation the way they want to, as we here in the United States have to run ours. And that's really what it comes down to. And until we clean up our act in this country, we don't have the right to go into any other country and say, you must live your life a different way. Certainly not at the tip of a bayonet. A little aspect of that stoning story that the corporate media is not telling you. She's not just accused of adultery. She and her lover were planning to murder her husband so that she would be free and could marry him. Now, here in the United States of America, premeditated murder and conspiracy to commit premeditated murder are capital crimes. And they do execute people in this country for premeditated murder. and conspiracy to commit premeditated murder. That is a fact. Now, if you don't think that this woman ought to suffer the death penalty in Iran, then you got to work against the death penalty here in the United States of America, which I don't like the death penalty anyway in either country. But let's not start using it as another reason to say, oh, we are superior to the Iranians, because instead of executing our criminals, you know, with rocks on the head, we strap them into a chair and we fill them full of poison gas, or we shoot electricity through them, or we pump chemicals through them, or we drop them at the end of a rope. It's really, the outcome is still the same. Meanwhile, horrible story coming out of Afghanistan. Some American soldiers have been arrested and tried for killing Afghan civilians, as well they should. It has come out that this U.S. sergeant who was murdering Afghan civilians who had no reason to die was keeping bodily parts as souvenirs. Now, there's winning the hearts and minds of the Afghani people. And yes, it's a feature of war. A lot of soldiers came back from Vietnam with these painted, polished skulls as war trophies. And it's not the image we want to have of our invading, conquering hordes. But that's the reality. That is the reality of what our soldiers are doing in these other countries here. So until we clean that up, we really don't have the moral right to go into other countries and say, you know, you really ought to live your lives a lot more like we do, you know, with massive vote fraud and incredible debt and looting your people to give money to Israel and so forth and so on. Now, speaking of money, we're going to talk about the economy for the rest of the show today. And like I said, a reminder, Lenny from INN World Report will be our guest on tomorrow's show to talk about 9/11. We're going to take 9/11 and fighting the Muslim bashing right out to the end of the show tomorrow night here. But turning to the economy for a little bit, American households, remember when the American dream was owning your own home, and because real estate prices always increase, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, that was an investment and you would grow richer just by sitting on this piece of real estate and shoveling your money at the bank as hard as you could. Even though the great overwhelming majority of the money that you were shoveling at the bank had nothing whatsoever to do with actually paying for the house itself. Little homework assignment, if you're a homeowner, get out your mortgage, go back and look at how much the house actually cost, then total up all of your payments to the mortgage company or the bank over the entire lifetime of the mortgage, otherwise known as a death pledge, mort, death, gauge, a promise or pledge, mortgage. Promise to work for the bank until you die. That's what that really means. Total up all those payments and then compare it to what the actual price of the house was, and you'll see what an absolute screw deal this thing is. You are enslaved to the banks in order to have a roof over your head here. And the banks, it's not like they're getting into their own pocket to loan the money. They just print it up. Or they type it into a computer. It's created out of thin air. And they say, here's the money to let you live in a house. And in exchange for that money that we created out of nothing to let you live in a house, you will slave for us until you die. And people fell for it because they were told, well, yeah, it's kind of a screwed deal that benefits the banks for no real reason at all, other than it's what we've been taught to believe is the way life is supposed to be. But you'll get it all back in the end when you retire, because the house will grow in value and you will sell it for whatever you paid for it plus whatever you paid the bank in interest, and you'll stick the next generation with that huge inflated bill. Only that's not really working, because right now American homeowners have lost an aggregate of $6.8 trillion in the equity of their homes. Yet the mortgage debt has gone up. Now guess who benefits from that and who really took it in the gluteus on that particular deal? The system is not set up for your benefit. The economic system the founding fathers created was created for your benefit, but it's been subverted three times now. So, we're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back. Stay tuned and aloha.
What would would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Attention all business owners. Save up to 20% free of charge on your business gas and electric energy supply bill. Call 1-800-641-5880. Due to deregulation of gas and electric utilities by the federal government, businesses in 16 states can receive up to 20% savings off their energy supply bill. This program is not for residences. It's only for businesses. Call 800-641-5880 for a list of qualifying states or visit RBN's website at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Enrollment is easy and completely free. No hidden costs, no interruption of service, and no cancellation fees. Don't delay. It takes 30 to 60 days to enroll. Call 1-800-641-5880. Thousands of businesses everywhere are saving money. Small offices and restaurants to large hotels, hospitals, municipalities, major fast food chains, and factories. This is a no-brainer. Your business is entitled to save this money free of charge. Call 1-800-641-5880. It's easy. Start saving money now. Just call 1-800-641-5880.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I'm reading an email from the offspring of First Cousins, apparently, and I'm going to read it as a direct quote. They should burn the Quran. This is a Christian nation, not a Muslim nation. This nation was actually set up by white men for white men. Nobody else need apply. Well, the truth is, this nation was set up by people who wanted to get away from exactly that attitude. And when I'm done with the show, I'm going to put up this article I wrote that says, from those wonderful people who brought you the Inquisition. And there is a section in there on the early religious history of the United States of America that includes the Salem witch trials and the ongoing battle between the fanatical Christians and the Quakers. And some of the things that they did to try and make this nation serve their particular religion are pretty appalling. Now go back and read your Constitution and the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an institution of religion. There is no official religion. The United States is not a Christian nation. It is not a Jewish nation. It is not a Muslim nation. It is not a flying spaghetti monster nation. It is a nation in which reside and worship freely Christians, Muslim, Jews, Pastafarians, Scientologists. We got to put up with them as well. Nobody has a lock on the country's civil authority. All religions are equal in the eyes of the law. you know, you start burning Korans, and then somebody else starts burning Torahs, and we've already got people in Israel burning the New Testament. And then we get this religious war that the war profiteers want, where the Christians and Muslims kill each other off and leave the planet for Israel to pillage at will in the aftermath. Okay, Byron in Canada, I'm sorry, I was about to pull your call, but I see you just dropped off there. Turning back to the economy and getting away from letters that just really annoy me here. The IMF, the International Monetary Fund, has a new set of studies out that warn the United States and other developed countries about their deficits and growing debt burdens. Okay. Somebody was saying, you know, why does the IMF economists still have jobs when they're that incompetent? They're not incompetent. This is intentional. Of course, debt is always going to grow if every unit of money in circulation is the result of a loan from a central bank at interest. That's the trap. That's why the founding fathers did not allow private central banks issuing the public currency at interest. They understood from watching the Bank of England that this is a recipe for poverty and starvation and massive unemployment among the people. We have had three of these central banks, and all three have brought the nation to the edge of ruin. We have had previous leaders with the moral courage to say enough is enough is enough. Andrew Jackson shut down one of the previous central banks, calling them a den of vipers. Abraham Lincoln funded the Civil War by issuing greenbacks because he wasn't about to sell the white people into the slavery of the bankers in order to free the black people. And finally, you had John F. Kennedy with his Executive Order 11110, which issued a silver-backed currency, a unit of value, not a unit of debt, in order to free the American people from the clutches of the Federal Reserve. 5 months later, he got shot in Dallas, Texas. And I got a lot of emails saying, oh, come on, it was Lee Oswald, or it was the Castro, or it was Israel, or the oil men, or all the rest of it. It was probably all of them involved. Kennedy really did piss off pretty much everybody, you know. But it is an absolute established fact that among the members of the Warren Commission was John J. McCloy, former president of the World Bank, former president of the Chase Manhattan Bank. And I don't care how good a banker he is. He's not qualified to investigate a murder, which is what we were told the Warren Commission was supposed to do. So why is a power banker among the clique if not to make sure that the links between John F. Kennedy's assassination and Executive Order 11110 are never brought to the public eye? The reserve system of banking, the Bank of England style of banking, the Rothschild style of banking, involves creating money out of thin air and then loaning it to the people who are told by their subservient government that this is the legal tender you must use for all your transactions. This is a replay of the Currency Act that King George III imposed on the colonies at the behest of the Bank of England, which is what led to the American Revolution. And the trap of the reserve system of banking, the trap of the Rothschild style of banking, is because all money is the proceeds of a loan from that central bank at interest. You can never pay it back. You're on that debt hook forever. More money is owed to the private central bank than is actually in existence. Now, it goes on working. It's a giant pyramid. It goes on working because they can continue to find larger and larger pools of borrowers with each new succeeding larger generation. And the borrowers borrow money, and the money circulates through the economy and is used to pay the interest on the old money. And that's what keeps it working. That's why they're always talking about the growth of the economy. To you and I, growth may seem like a positive thing, but it isn't. It means an increase in the total aggregate debt. And no matter how much they borrow to pay the interest on the old money, the total debt still exceeds total money in circulation. That's the trap. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go to the phones. We've got Paul in North Carolina. Aloha, Paul. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I'm big fan. Thank you for helping me put things together. Question is, you know, we've had the alternative media has been around for a good long time. The internet's been up and running for a good long time. We've got people like you we can listen to, you know, the 9/11 Commission report we can read, and we can learn, you know, that the planes, you know, that we were lied to about the whole situation. You know, we all read Creature from Jekyll Island. We know about the Federal Reserve. My question is, you know, are we developing a critical mass enough to turn things around, you know, what's the resolution? Where do we go from here? What's the hope at getting out of this mess, which seems so all far-reaching, you know?
Well, you know, I have said that my particular opinion here is that we're going to reach a point where the government will have lost so much credibility among the people that it's simply going to collapse of its own ruin, and I think an economic crash will probably precipitate that. It's the same thing that happened in the Soviet Union, and I really do feel at this point it is inevitable. It's only a matter of time, and you know, we've got a little betting pool going about when it's going to happen, but the bottom line here is it does feel like we've reached that point where too many people are simply not trusting of the government for it to even be able to function. I mean, if there was a real catastrophe on the way, I don't think the government could get the American people to agree to any kind of maneuver or change in lifestyle that would change, you know, the outcome, because nobody wants to be made a fool of again at the hands of this government after we fell for Saddam's nukes, after we fell at least partly for human-caused global warming, after we fell for the when pigs fly flu, and it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And nobody trusts the government. The poll ratings for the president and the Congress have never been this low in history. We're on a trend. We're looking at the beginning of the collapse of the United States of America. Just look at the economic ruin around here, and our government isn't even trying to repair the economy. They're just making all the little promissory speeches for the upcoming election, but they haven't actually done anything that would markedly improve the economy for the ordinary American people. Somebody put up an article at whatreallyhappened.com basically saying it's time for helicopter Ben Bernanke to just start dropping money all over the American people, because that's who needs to have it to get the economy going again. But it's not going to happen. They keep borrowing money on the public tab to give to Wall Street. Wall Street puts it in their pocket. You know, I've been saying ever since the end of 2008, the whole theory of the banking bailout is to take $1 trillion from the American people and give it to the bankers so the bankers can loan it back to the American people at interest. And it was a lame idea. The bankers wrote themselves huge bonuses out of that money, and it didn't work. Nothing the government has done has actually worked at improving the economy. It's all looting the people to give to the cronies. You know, Obama was on TV speechifying about wanting to stimulate business again, and he's talking about tax cuts, which sounds good for the election, which is exactly why he's doing it. But the one thing he won't talk about is reversing the tax policy that rewards corporations for taking our jobs overseas. When he starts talking about punitive tariffs on overseas labor for American corporations, then I'll start taking him seriously. When he starts talking about actually ending the wars, not just renaming them, and being able to cut federal taxes in half if we're not paying for all this murder and mayhem around the globe, then I'll start listening to him. But right now, we're a couple of months away from an election. The entire political structure and the media seems totally obsessed on winning those elections. And at this point, during campaign season, there's not a single thing the government's saying that you can believe in.
Mm. But so is it possible, though, that we're succumbing to... that there's an illusion we have from talking to one another that things are going to get better, or that the word's getting out? Or, obviously, you feel that there definitely is evidence that people are waking up and this information is getting out and the tide is turning and something can be done.
Well, nobody I talk to thinks things are getting any better. Everybody says they're getting worse and we're heading toward a crash. And we're going to have to go through
better in terms of more of us are alerted to the demise. More of us are alerted to the real sources.
Oh yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, just look at the viewership, listenership, readership numbers of the current corporate media versus the numbers for whatreallyhappened.com or Republic Broadcasting. Newspapers are cutting back. They're shutting down bureaus. They don't have the revenue anymore. They've lost control of the minds of America, which is what they were really selling. And that can, it's shifting over here to the citizens media. And, you know, we're not making the money and we don't have the access and privilege that the corporate media still has, but I think they're kind of running on inertia. I think one of the reasons they're trying to do this really huge push about bash the Muslims this week is simply to try and reassure themselves or their owners and sponsors that they can still make the magic happen. And I think at some point we're going to continue to see the powers that be just kind of, you know, let the corporate media go and collapse because it's not doing its function of lying to the people anymore.
Wouldn't seem difficult to continue financing them and just keep that propaganda arm going for the
people
listening.
If it isn't working, I mean, they've been trying for how many years to sell the war in Iran? They haven't got the public support for it. They're not getting the traction.
True, but the average person on the street, if you ask them what Building 7 is, they look at you with a blank stare.
Not around here. You know, and the bottom line is if you get a blank stare, educate them.
Yeah.
Say,
yeah.
You know, just say, go onto a search engine and do World Trade Center Building 7. And, you know, believe me, the first things they're going to have coming up, you know, is the new video with the explosion showing the collapse.
Right.
And again, I always start off every discussion with a reminder. The government lied to us all about Saddam's nuclear bombs. And once they accept that major premise, that the government has been caught red-handed lying about something important, then they have to open up and start listening objectively to these other situations. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, got to let you go. We're going to switch over to Art in Pennsylvania. Aloha, Art. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. Thank you for taking my call. Regarding 9/11, I did some analysis on it. And the thing you brought out, that looking at World Trade Center 7 coming down, that is the key to figure out who did it, why they did it, and how they did it. Very similar if you look at the Kennedy assassination, if you look at the YouTube video about Nixon saying that he's going to talk about the whole Bay of Pigs affair. If you really understand the background and the content of what they're saying in both of those situations, you can fully understand who did it, why they did it, and how they did it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. Silverstein was caught lying, saying that one of the fire chiefs of New York told him to blow World Trade Center 7. He was subsequently confronted with that, and he did refuse to comment. Okay? It said, people died, you've lied, you haven't told us who gave you this indication to take down this building. So then you have to look at who really did it and what benefited from it. Okay? What's the first thing they hit? They hit one of the towers, and who was the guy up there? It was Cantor Fitzgerald, the mortgage brokers. Okay? Who was the major competitor of the mortgage brokers? It was none other than Michael Milliken. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Milliken is tied into Stephen Wynn, the casino interest. Long story short, I'm sure
there were a lot of people taking advantage of everything that was going on in the World Trade disaster. One of the most interesting stories I have was that, the computers for American Express for the whole East Coast were located in the World Trade Towers. And just seconds before the planes hit, millions and millions of dollars of credit charges came in, and the money went over the wires to other countries. Then the computers were destroyed, and there was never a trace of where the money went. And they recovered the hard drives from the remains of the computers, and they were sent to a company in Switzerland that has developed its very exotic laser-based data recovery service. And they started to find out where all this money had gone, who had executed all these very strange credit transfers. Then some consortium comes in and buys up this company that's doing the laser recovery, and they cancel the project, and that's the end of it. And we know that there were a lot of put options on the airlines. There was massive short selling ahead of time. By the way, that's something to look for ahead of a new false flag. We know that a lot of these strange stock trades went right back to CIA, to Buzzy Krongard. Everybody who knew this was going to happen, they were taking advantage of it for their own personal profit.
I agree with you. And the one who got away with when World Trade Center 7 went down, you notice they lost all the information for prosecution of Enron. Who got off the hook? Michael Milliken, the convicted felon in the Ivan-Boski scandal. Who was he with? Stephen Wynn.
Everything the SEC had on everybody was in that building. It was a massive document dump. They did the same thing with the Murrah building in Oklahoma City. When that was blown up, all of the documentary evidence about the botched raid at the Branch Davidian compound in Waco, Texas, and its aftermath was in that building. There was a lot of documentation about veterans who were coming back with Gulf War syndrome from this squalene and these other medications tested on them. That was all in that building. For some reason, everything that was damaging to the government got transferred to that building just in time for the explosion. And it completely derailed Congress's investigation into the Waco disaster because, we're sorry, but, the papers were in the Murrah building and golly gee shuckies, but we don't recall without the documentation.
Yeah. Milliken got away with Enron. He was never prosecuted because of what happened there. Okay.
Well,
he was a multi-billionaire.
Milliken wasn't a key player in Enron. That was Ken Lay and I'm blanking on the name of the other guy. I'm sorry?
Actually, Milliken was. Milliken was involved with, he was being sued by Lieutenant Governor Busamani, along with Ken Lay, for $9 billion to recover the losses that California incurred over the fraud that was involved with Enron.
Okay.
Milliken and Ken Lay met Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger at the Peninsula Hotel during his campaign, and Schwarzenegger said, I will withdraw the lawsuit against your personal assets if I become governor
of
California.
Yeah, that part I remember. That part I remember. And of course, everybody's been saying since then, boy, if we only had that $9 billion now, we could have saved California. Schwarzenegger's going to be out of power in about another 4 months, and I think good riddance to him. And it's a reminder, after Reagan and Schwarzenegger, do not vote for actors as political leaders. Thank you very much. I got to let you go. We're running out of time, and the calls are piling up here. We're going to switch over to Dave in Connecticut. Aloha, Dave. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. I just want to whine a little bit.
Okay.
I got a letter the
Chardonnay?
Other day. What's that?
Chardonnay?
No. I'm not a big drinker.
Ah, okay.
I got a letter the other day from Bank of America, mm-hmm. and it ties in with FEMA, and that all of a sudden, out of the blue, I have to pay flood insurance. And I did a little research, and it turns out, basically, the new flood insurance, supposedly 40% of people in the country are going to have to pay all of a sudden, ties in with Katrina, and it's a way of, basically, it's taxation to cover the debt from Katrina.
Yeah.
So, you know, basically, I know people, you know, such as I, were already struggling as is, and all of a sudden, it's like, boom, new tax, and... You know,
well, are you in for
point...
a shock on January 1 because,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's going to be the biggest tax increase in U.S. history, you know, is going to hit Americans.
Yeah, but, you know, at what point, you know, is it like, okay, that's enough?
Time will
you
solve
know,
that mystery. But I'll tell you something right now. You know, there's a real indicator. Have you seen on TV all these commercials for the tax resolution services? They're all over the place out here. I don't know about where you live, but... You know, tax busters, tax masters, tax sales, tax messiah, whatever. I mean, they're not running those commercials for no reason. They know there's a market out there. There's a huge, huge, huge non-compliance problem out there right now because people are fed up with the tax forms. They're fed up with taxation without representation, which is what we've got right now. And the bottom line is most people just don't have it. When it comes down to a choice about paying taxes to pay for a war or keeping a roof over their family's head, they're just saying, I can't deal with it right now. I'll have to fix it some other time down the road when the economy gets better. But there's a huge non-compliance problem. And, nobody wants to talk about it because it's going to spread a bad idea among those slaves if they start getting uppity and thinking maybe because the government isn't listening to how they want the money spent that they should stop giving that money to the government. Maybe a lot of Americans have decided, you know, giving more money to this government is like giving a bottle of scotch and the keys to the family car to a bunch of wild teenage boys. It's just a recipe for disaster. Yep. And so I think we're at that point. I think most of the reaction to the government's abuse is still in the realm of the passive-aggressive kind of variety. And I think the government is trying to avoid doing anything that will create a flashpoint of resentment where more people will start crashing airplanes into IRS offices. If anything, I think they're trying to create a flashpoint. I think the government's strategy right now is they understand there's a lot of anger and rage and hate against the government. They're trying to somehow shift it over onto a scapegoat, the Muslims. And again, it's exactly the same thing Hitler did with the Jews. Don't blame the government for all the things that are going wrong. Blame these people over here who can't fight back. We're going to round them up. They're the evil people. They're not. They're not. Wasn't Muslims killing Americans in international waters last May? Wasn't Muslims, you know, looting investors, you know, for $65 billion? And I don't think it was Muslims at the World Trade Towers, to be very honest about it. It wasn't Muslims who repealed Glass-Steagall. It wasn't Muslims who wrecked the economy. It wasn't Muslims who started these wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and wherever else they're all going on. What the government wants to do, the government knows we're angry. The government knows we're ready to start the pitchfork and torch thing. They're hoping they can trick us all into putting our hate onto somebody who can't fight back. That's what they're trying to do with all this bashing the Muslim.
Can I make another point?
Real quick, we're almost to the end of the seg.
With the economy, I've noticed, in the past year or two, I live in Connecticut, and I know a lot of the wealth from New York more than trickles in, kind of gushes into certain areas in here, and except my area. And I just noticed walking around, like, the roads, you know, potholes everywhere, the sidewalks are a mess, and illegal immigration is, like, everywhere all of a sudden, just, like, night and day. Like, 5 years ago, non-existent. Now it's like everywhere. And, you know, it's just a driving factor in that it's insourcing and outsourcing that's killing the economy.
Got to get to your point. We're almost at the end of the segment.
Well, that's just my point. It's just, you know, I'm just disgusted at where this country's going.
Well, drop disgust and start working on anger, because nothing's going to change until the people of America get angry. It's like that wonderful speech from Patty Chayefsky's network, Howard Beale. You know, I don't know how to fix it, but I know the first thing you got to do is you got to get angry. We evolved to feel anger and rage as a survival mechanism. It's supposed to be there. You're supposed to let it out. You know, I'm mad as heck, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And that's the stage we need to get at before anything is going to change in this country. Okay? All right, we're going to let you go here, because we're at the end of the segment here. The magic music is about to start, leading into the commercials. When we come back, we've got time enough for one final caller. We're going to be talking to Ed in Utah when we come back from this break, and there's the music right now. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Aloha.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Back to the phones. Ed in Utah. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Okay, Mike, thanks a lot here. A couple of things about 9/11. But first, about a patriot in Idaho. I haven't heard you discuss too much Edgar Steele. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know what's going on over there.
Yeah, David Duke was up there just last week. Some say it had something to do with this. Probably does. David Duke was up there speaking at Coeur d'Alene. But the point is, Edgar Steele, in his own website, has put out a lot of information indicting the Israeli lobby and AIPAC's involvement in 9/11. And to that end, yeah, they're the ones that benefited from this, Mike. You put out a lot of that on your website, so has Jeff Renz and what have you. But two reminders for the folks out there. Let's not forget about Flight 93 and the fact that Victor Thorne, the great writer there at the American Free Press newspaper in Washington, as in his book Flight 93, Phantom Flight 93, shows that that could be the Rosetta Stone of this whole deal there. People need to get a copy of that book. And a reminder to the audience also, the assassination that day on 9/11 of 25-year veteran FBI man John O'Neill, who was going after the Bush administration all summer, Mike, because he knew something was afoot. John O'Neill may not have been able to connect all the dots, but he knew something was coming down, just like the indicators you were showing there in August and earlier today on RBN when on the Freedom Frenzy, when they talked about how three U.S. senators were having lunch with all kinds of PACs and PAC standees and what have you in the weeks that preceded 9/11. So I just wanted to throw those couple of facts out there. Look at the death of John O'Neill and see if we can't avenge that. And read Victor Thorne's book, Phantom Flight 93, and to show there was no crash there at Shanksville. That's all a scam. There was no crash.
Well, it was shot down, and we've now got a video of Donald Rumsfeld admitting that the plane was shot down. I want to go back to John O'Neill.
Yes.
For those people who don't remember, he was this FBI agent. He'd been, you know, very much involved in tracking down a lot of the corruption coming out of the Bush administration and a lot of the stuff that was going on there. I believe he was basically urged out of the FBI and then given this job doing security in the World Trade Towers. Mm-hmm. And it was like his first week on the job, and he died in the collapse of one of the buildings. And who was running security, the private security company for the World Trade Towers, was Marvin Bush.
Yep.
Yeah, Bush's brother.
Mike?
And yeah.
Oh, listen, I the reason I brought up Edgar Steele in light of all this, I hate to interrupt like that, but Edgar Steele, I wanted to put out kind of a warning to all of us, especially you people with the microphones in the Patriot Network and RBN. Remember, if we don't hang together, gentlemen, we hang separately. I believe
Ben
if
Franklin.
They can, yeah, if they can get to Edgar Steele, a great lawyer who took on pro bono case after pro bono case for his fellow man in Idaho, and now this whole deal on him right now, if they can hang us separately like that, maybe they're going to come after RBN hosts next. After all, CNN focused on RBN last spring with that whole deal. With the Freedom Alliance. So I just wanted to point that out. We need to come to the rescue and go to the website of Free Edgar Steele. This man is a patriot, and they are going after him, Mike. I believe they're going to start going after other people like David Duke again and Jim Traficant in Ohio. And,
okay, well, I got to get one thing in here because we're at the end of the show here. The thing is, at this stage in the evolution of the revolution, every one of us they take out, 10 more take our place tomorrow. So it's a losing battle, and I still am convinced that the U.S. government is going to collapse the way the USSR did. Thanks a lot, Ed. Got to let you go. Tune in tomorrow. Talk to you then. Aloha. With